You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
I want you to have the opportunity, even if you turn it down, we want you to have the opportunity to know Jesus, because He does love you. And this song says, will that circle be unbroken? And we know somebody in your family is probably going to heaven, and we want you to go too.
There are loved ones up in glory whose dear form we often miss. When you close your earthly story, will you join them in their bliss? Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a banner all awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. One by one their lives were ended, one by one they went away. Now with Jesus up in glory, they enjoy their holy birth. Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. So the question to the living, are you ready to meet the King? Have you trusted in the Savior? Can you join with those who sing? Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. And will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. And it's in the sky, Lord, in the sky.
There we go. Thank y'all so much for coming to the Rec Room. We just love it when you're here.
I like it when we kind of pick it up a little bit. I really do. Turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of Amos. Now, if you don't have a Bible, then you can't do that. If you'd like to have a Bible, would you lift your hand? We've got people that'll bring you a Bible. Now, if you don't have a Bible, or let me put it this way, if you don't have a Bible here with you, you come in here from Clyde and told everybody's Abilene, trying to hire old folks, or you, or Holly. Holly, goodness. Yeah. And are you coming from Wall and said is Angelo?
Yeah.
We got a bunch of them here. If you don't have a Bible with you in your stay with us, keep this one as a gift from a Rec Room. We want you, this is something you shouldn't leave home without. I'm telling you. Now, if you'll open that Bible, you can probably find Ezekiel pretty easy. You go to Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. Then continue on and you'll go to Daniel, Hosea, yeah, he was the only Spanish guy in the Bible. I thought for a long time Malachi was, I called him Malachi, I thought he was Italian. But after Hosea is Joel, and then Amos. Hosea, Joel, and Amos a little short, but well, Amos got 9 chapters, it's not all that short. But Amos, and if you just turn to that, and in very first verse it said the words of Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa. If you look over at chapter 7, and verse 14, it talks about that again, gives a little more interest about what he does. It said, then answered Amon and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I prophet's son, but I was a herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. Amos is just an ordinary farmer, rancher type guy. If you study your Bible much, you'll find most of the people that wrote in it were ordinary type guys. Some of them pretty pathetic. Paul said in 1 Corinthians that not many mighty, not many wise, not many noble were chosen. He didn't say not any, but he said not many. Most of the Christians that have done great jobs through the years, the great preachers, have been a shoe salesman, or a farmer, or somebody that was a nothing. And God reached down and put his hand on them and made them something. And that's what he does with Amos. In Amos chapter 4 and verse 12, Amos is going to make a statement that will resonate through the ages from the time he said it. Verse 12 said this, therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. I want to take those 5 words, prepare to meet thy God, because it is true in every generation. It's true in every dispensation. It is true in every person's life, because it's something we're all going to do. Prepare to meet thy God. God called a little guy. God called a weak guy. God called the loser. But when he called him, he empowered them. And I think about this. And the last few years of my life have been the greatest. Now let me correct Charles a little bit. He said, I loved you. Let me tell you. I started doing this because I thought God was going to beat the town out of me if I didn't. I didn't love any of them. I cannot go and say, boy, I really loved the Lord because I hadn't done much. Truth of the matter is, I think when it comes down to standing before him and they total up how much time I've served the Lord my life, and I'm an old man, I'm 76 years old, I believe he can do it with a minute hand. And if I'm fortunate, he'll do it with an hour hand, but it won't take a calendar. I hear people say, well, I've been serving the Lord 30 years. Well, I've been serving him about 30 minutes. I don't serve him much. But I knew God has made things so good. Everything's closed, sir. Where are you going? So, God has made things so good. And I look at, and I didn't want to do this. And in fact, when I started going in prison, Big Spring, Texas, every Friday night, First thing that happened to me, I'd walk out every Friday night and thought I did what they did in business all the time. How come they got here and I didn't? Scared me to death. Second thing, I didn't have any more excuses. The only other ministry I had would have hated to do worse than going into that prison was going to the old folks' home, which may be my next stop. You know, as a client, you know. But didn't want to do that. But I knew I was going to have to meet God. I talked to a guy this past week, tried to kill himself twice out in the jail. And one of the guys that was in the Big Spring Federal Prison got saved in prison in Kansas before they shipped him down to Big Spring. He became a Christian, and years after that, I was talking to him on the phone. We stayed in touch over the years. In fact, he moved to Odessa a while when he got out of prison. But he got real depressed, and we talked on the phone, and he said, Leland, he said, I really thought about killing myself. And he said, you know the only reason I didn't? And I said, no, Greg, why? He said, I thought, if I kill myself, the first person I see is Jesus, and I got to explain it to him. And he said, I'm afraid to do that, so I'm just going to live in this misery. I'm not going to do that. Best excuse I've ever heard, and I can't say that. And when people tell me they tried that, my first question is always, what if you'd been successful? Where would you be today? Where would you be? Hey, prepare to meet that God. Prepare. Preparation takes time. Preparation takes effort. Preparation, it doesn't make a difference. There's some kind of preparation. You get up, some of you get up and go to work. You prepare to go to work. Part of that is maybe you need to take a sack lunch. Maybe you don't. You got to prepare on how you're going to get there and back. What are you going to wear? What does that require? You're going to prepare differently for going to work than you would to a concert. You prepare differently for going out on a date than you would for a job interview, probably. What are you planning for? What are you getting ready? Preparation means get ready for it. Preparation here is for something. Prepare to meet thy God. It's something definite. It's not maybe you're going to meet God. It's not you might meet God. It's not in all probability we're going to stand before God. He said, prepare to meet thy God. We don't know when. That's why we need the preparation. Could be at any time. On the other side of this coin, most of us know that meeting God will be through the medium of death. So holding, well, we won't come back to here. I want you to go with me to the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews. A little bit back to the left from Revelation. Hebrews chapter 9. This is kind of Paul's comment about the same thing that Amos was talking about, except it's a little different. Hebrews 9:27. And he said, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Prepare for death. It's an appointment that we've all got to make. Now, when we're young, we never think about that. We don't. Most time when we're old, we don't think about that. We just sometimes think we're just going to continue. But he said, is appointed unto men once to die. And by the way, this is a one-time event. It said once to die. Now, we get a lot of second chances, don't we? I mean, ball players get 3 strikes before they're out, don't they? You get 4 downs to make a first down in football. In the gentleman's game of golf, if you're playing with friends, they have what they call a mulligan. It's just a do-over. You hit a bad drive and you mulligan. Some play with so many mulligans a game in the 18th hole. You get to do it again. You lose a job. What do? Go get another one. You get divorced. Most of you get remarried. And then divorced again. We get those different chances. We get arrested. What happened? Get released. Go to prison. Get out. We used to do, for years when we was going into prison, we did a program called Preparation for Parole on things you needed to do in that time. And I found out that parole plans, you could get, there were attorneys that let you have them for $1,500. They'll get you a parole plan. We were at one of the state prison functions, and a guy was had a parole package for $500. And that always just really ticked me off. We came back, and I sat down with some people that had some sense and copied from them. And we put together a parole package that the family could have for nothing. Got a letter just the other day. Somebody told him about it. He said, would you send one to me and one to my wife? And we did. Free of charge. People want to make money over people's misery. I don't like that money. But you have to prepare for it. Where are you going to go? You don't just parole out. You got to have a place to go. You got to parole to somebody. Someplace. That's what I kept telling everybody in Odessa. Everybody in Odessa thinks that there might be a chance that everybody that goes to prison could end up in Midland. That ain't the way it works. They come back to Odessa. Hey, so we need to try to evangelize them. I'd much rather have a Christian coming out moving next door. Really? Now, but we get another chance. But let me tell you what, maybe that has spoiled us a little bit. Because people live like they're going to get to die 4 or 5 times. Listen to me. They act like, well, if I die and I've screwed it up, maybe I'll get a chance to die again. And if I mess that one up, maybe I get a chance to die. He said it's appointed unto man once to die. This is zero tolerance. We get no do-overs. There are no mulligans. There are no 3 deaths or 4 deaths. Once to die. That's it. The door's closed. It's slammed. And then he said, after this, the judgment, for 6,000 years of man's history, one death for every birth. Not 2 deaths, not 3 deaths, 1 death. May be old, they may be young, they may be middle-aged. You can't listen to the news for a week, any 7-day period, that you don't see and hear of the young dying and the middle-aged dying and the old dying. Death is inevitable. It's appointed unto men once to die, and then what? And after this, the judgment. The judgment. We prepare for many things in our life. A lot of different things. Every day is some kind of preparation. But the most important thing is preparing to meet God. Preparing to meet that judgment. Preparing to stand before Him and say, I trusted you, son. When the devil says, Leland is sorry as puke, everybody will say, amen. But then Jesus will say, I paid for that. Leland is as bad as you said he was, but every debt he had, I shed my blood on the cross to pay for him. See, that's the only hope I got. I don't have the hope of helping anybody. I don't have the hope of living good. I don't have the hope of being nice to somebody. The only hope I've got is Jesus Christ. He died for me. If that won't work, that's it. Let me tell you, I've gambled my future in eternity on Him. I'd rather have Him be my judge than any person I know. When they came to David and said, "Man, you've blew it," when he numbered the people, and the prophet told him, he said, "You pick one of three things. You're going to get punished. You got to come in. You can pick your punishment. One had to do with mankind. One had to do with famine. Another one had to do with God's punishment." And you know what David said? He said, "Turn me over to God, because He's merciful." He's merciful. Let us be here tonight. He's merciful that we haven't had that once. That's still in the future. He is merciful. Are you prepared for that final test? Prepare to meet thy God. We're coming to the end of the school system. Our kids have been going through the tax deal. People will take finals. College people are taking their finals and graduating, or moving to another class. But they had to prepare. Are you prepared for it? Tonight, if God decided this was the night for you and Him to meet, are you prepared to meet Him? Let's bow our heads. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, nobody looking around, and you'd say, "Leland, I'm not prepared. Oh, if God called me home tonight, I'm not prepared. I want to be prepared. I'm not." Would you pray for me? Would you just slip up your hand? Nobody's looking around. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. I'm not prepared. If I were to die tonight, I won't make it. Are you prepared? Anyone? I see your hand. I'll be honest with you. I'm not prepared. Is there one? Any more? One more. Yes. Yeah, I see. Two more. Three more. God bless you. See you. Anybody else? Before we pray, real quick. We're not going to keep you long. Anyone else? Real quick. I'm not prepared. I need to be prepared. Our Father, just as they are, and that's the only way any of us ever come to you, just as we are. It's not a period of time of cleaning up or getting dry or getting clean and sober or straightening up, or it's just turning, just releasing ourselves to you. Just turning it over to you. So, Father, those that lifted their hands and those that didn't and maybe should have, help them to understand that Jesus Christ died for their sins according to the Scripture, was buried and rose again according to the Scripture to get them to heaven. All you have to do is believe that. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, that He died for you and rose for you to forgive your sins, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's stand while our heads are still bowed, our eyes are still closed. We're standing. What I want you to do, you say, "Leland, I accept Jesus as my Savior. I want you to come to the front." We're going to kneel at this altar and pray. We'll have somebody to help. You understand? Would you come right now? As Johnny said, just as you are. Come on. No pretense, no sham. Here I am, Lord. I turn it over to you. Only one death. Come on. going to ask Charles just to play through a little bit. In a moment, I'm going to ask him to sing one final verse. If nobody comes, we're through. But you know what you need to do. Don't leave here trying to con God. This has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with Charles. It has nothing to do with Loops. It has nothing to do with Clover House. It has to do with you and meeting God. Prepare to meet thy God. Are you prepared? If you're not, come and get prepared. This one verse, nobody comes, we're through. This one verse, sing it, Charles. What do you need to do? Time is passing. Would you come very quickly? Okay. Let me just hold you right here, Charles, please. One's at the altar praying. See, now we're without excuse. And when you stand before God, He'll say, back in May 2011, my word said, prepare to meet me. You knew you needed to prepare, and you didn't prepare. No excuses. Our precious Heavenly Father, I pray that those that should have come will have another chance. I know you don't guarantee that. But Father, we pray, we know you're merciful. You know how many chances you've given us all. Father, help us to realize that there's one event that we get no do-overs over. So, Father, be with those tonight that lifted their hands. Be with those that knew in their heart. Be with those that really kind of scoffs at the whole thing. Because we know they're really skating on thin ice. Have mercy on their souls. Thank you for the rec room and the people that make it work. Thank you for your amazing grace. Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Refreshment bar is open.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.